Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on this Friday morning, the last work day before things start to get better in America on Monday. We're looking forward to that. We can get through this because it's a Friday, number one. That makes us happy. And then number two, we know what's going to happen on Monday. This may be the first Monday you've been looking forward to in a long time. Think about it that way.
I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like people are just going to, well, I don't know how many people are working because it's MLK Jr. Day, but I feel like people will just have a little extra pep in their step on Monday. Well, there will be quite a few depressed people, too. There will be people who are taking Xanax, and then there will be other people who will be celebrating.
So even if you're taking Xanax Monday, you still have a better day. So,
well, that's probably true.
All you pink hat people, be happy. You'll be happy too, right?
You'll probably be able to tell who voted for Trump just based on your coworkers' expressions.
I don't know what to expect. I don't know if there are going to be protesters there. I know Saturday, tomorrow in D.C., is protester day. It's a crazy pink hat, Trump hater day in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. Probably the mayor, Muriel Bowser, will be leading the parade. I don't know what to expect. What I don't know is what the residual is going to be on Monday. Will a bunch of those nutbags hang around and like be protesting at the periphery of whatever's going on?
Oh, I'm sure. I think you're in for it. I think you're going to see quite a few people. I don't think it's going to be crazy, but I do think you'll see people protesting.
So here's the thing, is that thinking back to my experience there on January 6th a few years ago, I expected that. I went there thinking, okay, there's going to be several rallies around D.C. In support of President Trump and them doing some honest counting of these votes and looking at doing some honest and introspection on what happened. And I'm figured the nut crowds would be there taunting and protesting, and there weren't very many of them. I didn't see hardly any. So I don't know if it'll be that way for the inauguration. Maybe at this point they've given up and gone home.
Well, maybe earlier in the weekend. So yeah. Maybe Sunday, because the rally for Trump, you said, is what, Sunday afternoon?
It is.
So three. Maybe that's when they do it versus Eastern. Actual inauguration day. Because
we'll
that's going to be, security, like you said, is going to be so tight on Monday. I mean, the whole weekend it will be, but in particular on Monday it has to be.
Yes, indeed. I'm so disappointed. I just found out this morning that Nancy Pelosi will not attend the inauguration. They just announced that.
Is that in protest?
I don't know if it's in protest, if it's the fact that she is recovering from a broken hip and getting up and down those steps might be just too much.
Yeah, but if it were Kamala Harris,
she'd be there.
She'd be rolled in there on a hospital bed,
well,
if
no,
that's what it took.
She'd be carried in there on one of those thrones like they used to carry Cleopatra on. Remember, the get a person on each end and carry it down the steps, and Queen Nancy would be there, but she won't be there for the Donald.
Maybe she's hanging out with Michelle Obama.
Maybe. All right, coming up, we're going to get you a check of business a little later this hour, find out what we're thinking going into the, really, it's a long weekend for Wall Street, too, because they're going to be closed on Monday. The exchanges will be. Next hour, we're going to talk to a retired ICE special agent on what the federal government is doing. And, you know, right now, Suffolk County is being sued for assisting ICE And it's the craziest thing. We're going to talk more about that lawsuit here at about 7:35, because that's in Virginia, I think. We're going to talk more with Victor Avila in the 7 o'clock hour. But first, let's get to this morning's top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The confirmation process, we want to give President Trump his team as quickly as possible. I think we're doing that. And then, you know, these tax cuts that were enacted in 2017 are set to expire. We got a lot of work to do.
Yep. Senator Eric Schmidt on with the Mark Reardon Show yesterday, talking about golfing recently with President Trump and what his real agenda is in, well, the day he takes office and the several days following.
Inflation is a creation and increase in the money supply. It really isn't even so much prices. Prices is a consequence of inflation.
Thank you, Rand Paul. Rand Paul summed up what you need to know about inflation in two quick sentences there. But still, Joe Biden and the left cannot fathom what he's talking about.
Can we just admit what we're all thinking? Republican nominees are H-O-T. Their interrogators are N-O-T.
Oh, Greg Gutfeld. I might play that one at the top of every hour this morning. That may be the bite of the morning. He was on the Five yesterday having a little bit of fun with the nomination hearings.
I'm not here to do nothing bad. I'm here to work.
Meet Louise. He lives in St. Louis and works as a landscaper.
Don't care. Fair share. Don't care. I don't care. I found that pretty interesting, is that our friends over to Channel 4, when I clicked on the website yesterday to see if there were any news stories that were of any interest to me whatsoever to talk about this morning, I see beyond the border, unauthorized immigrants in St. Louis. Well, first of all, let me help you a little bit. That would be illegal aliens in St. Louis. They're not unauthorized immigrants. They're illegal aliens. I don't know who came up with that politically correct crap, but shame on you. And this is the one thing I miss the least about television journalism, is you had to, the PC people had to be in charge of everything that got printed and rewriting scripts and headlines to be the most politically correct it could possibly be. Nonsense. So then their other goal is to go out. They assigned three reporters to this. They assigned three reporters to go out and highlight the perspective of illegal aliens and immigration issues in Missouri and Illinois to explain this complex issue. Did you know it's complex, Kim?
Well, did they ask him what it feels like to be a criminal?
They did not.
Because by coming into our country illegally, they are automatically a criminal.
Obviously, the goal here is pretty simple. It is to manipulate your emotions about this issue.
Right.
But that's not what it's... I'm going to play this bite for you when we come back. We're going to get to a quick break here. This guy's lived in the United States for 23 years, right? His parents are now here, too, illegally. And, it just wouldn't be fair. Sending them back wouldn't be this. I feel like this is home to me. But what about all the people that came in legally? There's so many questions here. We're going to get to all that and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm not here to do nothing bad. I'm here to work.
Meet Louise. He lives in St. Louis and works as a landscaper.
For me, it's like a career. I like it.
He tells me he provides for his wife and four kids. They are part of an estimated 50,000 unauthorized immigrant population calling Missouri home.
We know like some bad and good people. And I feel I'm on the side of the good people.
You know, Luis, I have no doubt you're probably a good person. Like, so they went out and they found somebody who might even qualify under what Barack Obama and Joe Biden tried to sell us as a dreamer. He said he was brought here as a child by his parents illegally. They hired a coyote to sneak him into the country way back in just after 9/11. And he's basically grown up here. And he works as a landscaper illegally. He's illegal. His parents are illegal. But and here's the thing about it. This is why our system is broken. Here's what you need to understand. He's an illegal alien living in the United States in the shadows, right? I don't blame anybody who wants to improve their family life situation, do better for their kids, whatever the case may be. But you don't have a country if you don't have laws governing who can come and go. We have laws. We're the most generous country in the world. 1 million people a year we allow in here legally who go through the process. You can't just jump in line. And don't tell me you think it's okay. If you were at Six Flags sweating your rear end off this summer, and you've been in line for 35 minutes to ride Mr. Freeze or one of the rides down there, and some jerks moved to the front of the line and jumped in line at the last minute and got on the ride, you'd be pissed off. And there's no reason not to think of illegal immigration the same way. There's a system in place. Follow the system. Nobody gets to jump to the front of the line unless, of course, like our amnesty rules should be, your life is somehow in danger and you can prove it because there's a civil war going on in your country, not the fact that the lights are out on your street, which is the nonsense that Kamala Harris tried to push on us a while back. Here's the thing about it. You know, Channel 4, here's what they did. They went out and they interviewed an immigration attorney who's warning that mass deportations are going to bog down the system. They interviewed Luis, the unauthorized immigrant, as they call him, the illegal immigrant, the illegal alien living in St. Louis. They interviewed somebody from the Migrant and Immigrant Community Action Project. They interviewed a business owner who used to be an illegal alien, but somehow overcame that. You may think to yourself, how has this person existed here? He's married, he owns a home, but he's an illegal alien. Why do we let those things happen? There's so much to the system that's got to be fixed. Here's the answer to the question of how an illegal immigrant, alien, has lived in St. Louis for 23 years. Play cut 12, Carl, please.
Keeping his family together is his top priority, which is why he's agreeing to explain how he's able to work, own a home, get married all legally, despite not having a legal status to be in the U.S. He says he is able to buy a house and car with an ITIN number. It's given by the IRS and shows proof of paying taxes. He says he uses this number to get a bank loan. Luis and his wife have a signed wedding certificate on file with the city of St. Louis. With no driver's license, he says he uses a government-issued passport for ID.
And how did you get the passport?
To the Mexican consulate.
And where is that?
Kansas City. Sometimes they come. They have a mobile unit. They come here.
How is he getting to and from his jobs if he doesn't have a driver's license? Is he driving the car illegally or somebody
David Amelotti did not ask him that question, but it's a great question. Inquiring minds want to know. I don't care if you have a passport, you don't have a driver's license.
Like, how are you taking your kids to doctor's appointments? How are you going to the grocery store if you, and I would assume your wife, do not have a legal driver's license?
Well, they did their best to hide this guy's identity. They used, for all I know, Luis is not his real name. You never saw a picture of his wife or his family. For all I know, he married an American citizen to cement his status here in some way, shape, or form. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, how many of these illegals would be paying taxes? Like, that can't be typical. I've never even heard of that thing where you get something from the IRS that's the
an ITIN.
I actually never even heard of that.
They've been doing that for a while. And believe it or not, there's some complaint on the part of the illegal community, the people that defend them, I would say, probably from this Community Action Project and others, that, well, they're paying their taxes. They're paying into the system. But they can never, you know, get Social Security someday or whatever because they're not citizens. Well, boo-hoo. I'm sorry, you're not a citizen.
Why would it also, I understand they came here illegally, so maybe that's the issue, but if they've been here since, you said, just after 9/11, they've been here so many years, 20 plus years now, would they not have taken would they not have made the effort to come to be here legally? Is there nothing you can do, I guess, if you've come, you know what I mean?
Correct. You'd have to go back to your
and
home
then come
country
back in legally and then apply.
And they
don't want to do that.
And no, of course they don't.
Yeah.
Of course they don't. They moved here because of some horrible financial situation in their home country and I don't know where he's from. I think he said Mexico somewhere. But in some of these countries where they've got dictators or, you know, people ruling them that they don't like, and there's awful poverty and all that, and they came to the land of milk and honey, and now they don't want to go back there. And you might not blame them for wanting to do that, but the world is about to change on Monday because we're going to start enforcing the rules that are already on the books that have been ignored by the Biden administration. The Remain in Mexico policy is going to go back into effect. All of these things. Don't try to put my emotions through the ringer, which is all this effort is by Channel 4 here, is to go out and, oh, these are just poor people who want to make their life better. No, they broke the law to come into our country because they didn't want to follow the rules. And now you want to give them a pass. And we're not willing to do that. And we shouldn't. You don't have a sovereign nation if you don't have borders. And that's the point. And it's going to be very obvious starting Monday at around 12:01 p.m. Eastern time. Trust me, can't happen soon enough for sure. Coming up, we'll get to Nicole Murray, find out what's going on in business. We'll be right back.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Yes, indeed. Which is what I believe we're doing with this Israel ceasefire deal. You've heard me express that. I'm anxious to get Jim Carafano's take on the whole thing. But I got to tell you, I know why there's pressure to do it. I get that. I'm just not sure it's in the best interest of Israel to do what they're doing. And I'm angry at the Biden administration for wanting to act like the Trump presidency, the incoming Trump presidency, had nothing to do with it. Now, it looks like the deal's back on. Looks like they've signed the deal. And now we're just waiting to see how long it takes for some of these hostages to be actually transferred. This is what Tony Blinken said about it yesterday.
The important thing is not who gets the credit. The important thing is getting the result. And that's exactly what we've gotten. And as I've said, the deal that was agreed is based on the proposal that President Biden put out months ago in May.
So there you know how Tony Blinken's selling this. Tony Blinken had one shot at some sort of a legacy as United States Secretary of State. One shot. And that was being able to walk away and say that deal was signed before my term was up. And they're willing to share the credit a little bit with the Trump people, but they're going to take full credit for this being something Joe Biden wanted. Since the thing started, Joe Biden's been talking about a ceasefire. Thank goodness Israel didn't bend to it too quickly. So we're going to get more details on this for you coming up. We've got Jim Carafano from Heritage, and I'm sure he's looked it over one way up and down and all around to figure out who actually benefits the most from this beyond the family members who are going to get, hopefully, some living hostages back as a result of this. I kind of doubt how many are still alive. I got to be honest with you. I'd have wanted proof of life before I agreed to that. So we'll get to that for you coming up at about 7:20. Carl, let's get to Nicole Murray. Nicole Murray on the phone this morning. How are you?
Oh, tech issues out the yin yang, let me tell you.
Hey, it's Friday. Who cares? It's It's all good.
That is a very good attitude to have. I'm glad.
Thank you. Not a problem. Not a problem. Just glad we were able to get a hold of you. I know the markets are going to be closed on Monday for MLK Day. And, of course, with that economic news, the Dow jumped hugely. What, yesterday? Is that right?
Not yesterday, the day before.
The day before.
With the CPI report. It was more encouraging than people had hoped for. So it was probably its best day since November, I believe.
Excellent. So what else you got going on out there?
All right. So futures are slightly higher Thursday. The Dow Industrials dropped 68. The NASDAQ down 172. The S&P 500 down 12. Texas-based Avelo Airlines has stopped serving St. Louis-Lambert International Airport. The last flight was January 5th. Anheuser-Busch is partnering with Fenton-based energy drink and supplement company First Form to launch a new energy drink. The collaboration will include Dana White, president and CEO of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. The drink will not contain alcohol. The average rate on the 30-year mortgage in the U.S. ticked up this week to slightly above 7%. That's the highest level in 8 months. The rate rose to 7.04% from 6.93%. That's according to mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. The interest rate has risen for the last 5 straight weeks. Apple has disabled Apple Intelligence summaries for news apps for users of its beta iPhone, iPad, and Mac software. The move comes after the BBC highlighted that Apple's AI system had twisted its news notifications to display inaccurate facts. Capital One is working to resolve a technical issue that had thousands of customers reporting direct deposits not showing up in their bank accounts. More than 2,000 issues have been reported, according to Down Detector. Capital One apologized for the problem on social media, saying they are working to resolve the issue. And finally, a greenhouse analysis says that 1 in 5 job postings that you see online are not real. These postings are now being referred to as ghost jobs.
Why would you do that?
I thought I heard the company in some cases was, like, obviously you have weirdos who are posting these fake jobs, but in some cases I thought I heard it was actually the business. Did I read that wrong? Because I don't understand why they would do that.
I really couldn't even tell you. I don't see any positives. Like, what are you doing sitting on the other end laughing at people who are applying for no reason? I could not explain the reasoning behind this. I can't even see any angle.
Well, I guess trying to get their information, because some of these people might say, oh, we need your, I don't know why you would ever need to give your social security number to apply for a job, but surely there are people who would fall for that and think that they needed to provide that. And then boom, that person has all their, you know, access to information.
Or if they know someone is looking for a job, maybe selling data there. I didn't think of that angle.
Yeah.
I don't see the upside to it. But of course, like so many of those, you apply and you never hear back. So most people would never know that if it was fake or not, right?
Right. So I guess don't take it so personal is the silver lining here.
Yeah, no kidding. Nicole, listen, have a great weekend, and maybe we'll get our technical issues ironed out for you
Wednesday, I believe.
Wednesday, right, after the inauguration.
Enjoy your long weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, guys.
All right.
We'll talk Wednesday.
All right. See you, Nicole Murray. I was about to say we'd have her Monday, but the markets are closed. And
obviously, we'll be here Monday. But
we're going to be here.
The focus will, of course, be Inauguration Day.
Back to this ad thing. Why would you put up it's generally speaking a pain in the butt for hiring managers to have to list these ads to begin with. If you're doing it through one of these services, you have to pay money to do it. A couple things I would think. You put an ad out there for an opening and you're dumb enough to list a salary range, you're going to irritate people that work for the company who aren't making that salary but who have that job. Am I right?
Yeah.
That could happen.
So,
that has happened.
Here's an article on CNBC. 4 in 10 companies say they've posted a fake job this year. They have posted it. And the strategy, as frustrating as it is, isn't entirely new. In some cases, they're trying to say it could boost morale. How would that boost morale? If I saw a job opening and it had my job title, I'd be panicking like my job's about to be ending.
Yeah.
It looks like the company is
thriving.
Growing, I guess.
Maybe it looks
like
the company's thriving.
Yeah, I'm trying to read here.
We're getting you help.
And it probably most often happens just before shareholder meetings, you think?
It comes down to reasons of appearance. They believe that advertising non-existing openings has a positive impact on the revenue by making it appear, here you go, Carl, by making it appear like their company is growing faster than it is. They believe the practice increases employee morale by making overextended staffers feel their workload will soon be alleviated.
Oh,
that's
there we
so
go.
Snaky. Others believe the move boosts productivity by making employees feel like they're replaceable. That's awful. And they have to prove themselves against a potential newcomer. If you're hiring, if your company's doing that, you're working for a dirty company.
If you really want to boost employee morale, put up a fake job opening for a pop-up bartender and let the employees think you're about to have happy hour Fridays, and that'll cheer them up, don't you think? I mean, it would have a better effect than having somebody think, oh, the cavalry's coming. Don't worry. Stand by. We're going to be getting some help soon. They're hiring some more folks.
Hiring managers say they also post these fake listings in order to collect resumes to keep on file for later. Okay, well, I get that. But if you're not anticipating a job being open for several months, wouldn't you think that the people who applied more than likely have found a job and moved on?
I would think. Just don't get your hopes up if you apply for that job. Because that is...
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't. It may not exist. How weird. How weird. All right, coming up, we'll get to another news here in a couple minutes with Ethan. Next hour, J.J. Carafano on the situation in Israel with a ceasefire. And we're going to talk to a retired ICE special agent on what's coming under the Trump administration and a lawsuit against the county for assisting ICE. That's still pending. We'll talk to him about that at about 7:35.
Rico, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Got a couple of deaths we've got to start with today, unfortunately. Bob Uecker, beloved Milwaukee Brewers broadcaster and actor, passed away at 90 after battling small cell lung cancer. He was known for his quick wit and charm. Uecker became a national icon beyond baseball through appearances on The Tonight Show, Miller Lite commercials, and his role as Harry Doyle in the Major League movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're forgetting something else.
He was a Cardinal.
He was the backup catcher for the 1964 World Champion Cardinals.
And he will admit he was not a good baseball player.
His whole career. He made a career out of joking about what a bad baseball player
he was.
He was
backup for Tim McCarver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
His average, I think, was like 200.
I love that guy. And there's a phrase that he uses that I still use, and it drives my family crazy. And it's the must be in the front row.
that was his beer commercial.
Yeah, his beer commercial. And, of course, he was always in the last row of the last seat in the stadium, and he was just convinced because of he had been a baseball player he was going to get front row seats, but he never did. And it was just a enduring joke in our
and
household.
Then Mr. Belvedere.
Yes.
What a horrible show. Kim, had you ever heard that song before?
Mm-mm. I mean, I've heard of Bob Uecker, but I couldn't tell you much about him. I mean, I read that he was a Cardinal.
That's a shame. He was a hoot.
Yes, he was a hoot. He was a funny guy.
One of the best. The other death that I'm passing along is David Lynch, the visionary filmmaker renowned for works like Twin Peaks, Blue Velvet, and Mulholland Drive. He passed away on January 15th at the age of 78. They haven't really said what he died from, but...
He smoked for 50 years.
He was a heavy, heavy smoker. Mm-hmm. So
he had emphysema, too. I did a fantastic David Lynch imitation last night, but it's too early in the morning for me to do it.
Okay, all right.
Because at the hockey game I played...
Did he sound like Vinny Testaroni?
No, he sounds like David Lynch.
Okay.
But... I played 10 David Lynch songs last night at the hockey game, and people were very happy about it.
Oh, good for you.
His and movie. We've been playing, besides our Friday songs, we've been playing nothing but David Lynch songs today, too.
His movies are beyond me. Sorry.
They're
weird.
I just
don't understand them. Thanks, Sue. A star-studded lineup including Lady Gaga, Billie Eilish, Green Day, Joni Mitchell, and Gwen Stefani will be performing the Fire Aid benefit. That's on January 30th.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're going to be at the inauguration.
No.
Not.
Yeah, right.
They are supporting victims of the Los Angeles wildfires. The event features simultaneous concerts at the Intuit Dome and Inglewood and the Kia Forum. with more than 20 artists like Stevie Nicks, Sting, Pink, and Katy Perry all set to perform. Tickets go on sale on January 22nd if you want to go out there, but you can also stream it on Apple Music, YouTube, Netflix, and Spotify. So if you want to check that out. Joann's, an 82-year-old fabric company and craft retailer. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
Again, this is the second time in less than a year due to ongoing financial and inventory challenges. After the initial bankruptcy in March of 2024, which aimed to reduce the $1 billion in debt by half with $132 million in financing, Joann is now seeking court approval to sell most of its assets to maximize the business value.
Wow.
They're in trouble.
Place has been around a long time.
I have that app on my phone.
Really? What do you go
what?
For?
Really?
What is it for?
I live with two women, and one of them, I shouldn't say this,
we'll
one
say
of them
it.
Doesn't have enough room
it.
On their phone to, because so many pictures, and so could you just
download this
so, yeah.
But I mean, do you look for deals and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they send you deals. My wife
on your
has
yarn?
It.
Yarn,
fabric, come on, thread.
Supplies.
I mean, I like Joann's, and it's sad, but a lot of these stores, it's hard to compete with some of the other places because Target and all these other places where people can go get everything, food included, they are now selling it, you know? So, Joann's is specialized in many ways.
Yeah, because I have a quilter, a neighbor who's a quilter, and she loves the place, right?
But see, that's the thing about a Joann's or a Hobby Lobby or a Michaels.
I love Hobby Lobby.
They are they are specialized, but they also have so much stuff that their stores are so big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's niche.
Yeah.
Totally.
I just like how Carl's pretending it's not him who is the crafter of the family.
Yeah.
We all know the truth. Progresso has introduced Soup Drops. It's a chicken noodle flavored hard candy designed for cold and flu season. Released for National Soup Month, these limited edition drops mimic the taste of broth, vegetables, egg noodles, and parsley. Dubbed soup you can suck on. Drops are available exclusively at ProgressoSoupDrops.com.
I saw this and thought it was a joke.
That's not a joke.
No, it's not.
I don't think
it's a joke.
You can
go and get them.
Is it like
who would
a cough
do
drop,
though?
It's like a cough drop, but it tastes like soup, and it's supposed to have the same nutritional value, I guess.
Oh, come
on.
I don't even believe those soups have as much nutritional value as people think they do.
Would you pop one of those in your mouth, Sue?
No.
They are currently sold out, but they are supposed to restock next Thursday.
They're sold out not because people think that they're going to be really tasty. It's because of the weirdness of it. Like those weird chip flavors and weird Oreo flavors they come out with. You want to just be able to try it.
100%.
Yeah, but how much sugar is in that? And Sue wouldn't have it because of the sugar. But
in a soup drop?
No, but it's candy.
It's not candy. It's just candy-like.
Ugh.
It's like a cough drop made from soup.
There's sugar in everything.
Agreed.
All right, we're ordering these. We're going to try them. The FDA has proposed a new rule requiring at-a-glance nutritional info boxes on the front of most packaged foods and beverages sold in the U.S. These labels would highlight the levels of saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar, nutrients linked to chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure, using low, medium, or high indicators. The initiative aims to make nutritional information more accessible, complementing existing nutrition facts labels that are on the back. So,
when is the last time, just be honest, when's the last time you turned a bottle around you're about to drink and read the nutrition?
Oh, I definitely have.
All the time.
I do it, yeah. Because so many of these drinks have so much junk in them.
Three chubby guys in the room don't do it, and the two women do it.
Look on Mark's face.
I don't care.
No, you...
You should,
like a lemonade.
Maybe.
Go look at a lemonade or an iced tea. People feel like they're being all healthy by drinking an iced tea. Go look at how much sugar is in that. You'll be disgusted.
So because you know that I ignore it, you're not going to put it on the front of the bottle instead of the tiny little writing on the back of the bottle.
Yeah, because
but
people don't take the time to look at it. That's why a lot of these companies you see on the front of their packaging will say, no seed oil, organic. They're putting trigger words that they know people are looking for because otherwise people are too lazy to turn the product around and read the label.
Yeah.
They're just throwing it in their cart.
So you're saying men.
So you guys.
Yeah.
Thank three you. Men.
Men are too lazy.
Seed oil is evil.
I wasn't going to say it, but you guys called yourselves out, so I'll just agree with you.
Being honest. Just keeping it real. That's all. All right, coming up, Jim Carafano. We'll pick his brain on this Israel ceasefire that's apparently a thing now. And Victor Avila joins us, a retired ICE special agent, on what's about to happen on January 20th.
Get more at 971talk.com.